Hello, everybody. George here. And so today is February 24th, and thus February, day 24. I don't know, that seems somewhat redundant. I think I'm just going to shorten that. Only got a few days left. I'll get it right. Anyway, I've heard that today's topic is, has Apple changed your life? And the simple answer to that is yes. Only it goes back a lot further than some people might think, because I first got exposure to Apple way back in 1984, when they brought computers into my junior high school. Yes, I'm dating myself. Oh my goodness. My ninth grade year, they brought these wonderful Apples in, and I mean, people were just starting to learn about them. And I think anybody who was in an earlier grade than me would have a jump on it, because they're a little slight advantage, because they'd be able to learn if they were, let's say, in grade 7. Now, I'm not sure what grades were allowed to use the computers, don't remember that. It might have even been the older kids, but there was a special time you could sign for gameplay on the computer, but I think they were used for just education about computers and how to work them and how to write in them and how to, I'm not sure programming was introduced at that point, but basic computer stuff, working a word process, for instance, and I think math, I'm not sure, honestly, because I wasn't able to work them, being that they didn't have a screen reader in them. However, that was yet to come, because I think they came just after New Year's, just kind of around spring. And there was a very early screen reader called the Echo 2. I think it was the Echo 2. I'm not certain if it was the Echo 2 or the Echo 2E. And this was a basic card that slipped into a slot in the back of this computer. You'd literally pull the top off. And the keyboard was built into the computer on an Apple IIe. If anybody remembers them, they were low profile, but they were deep. They, of course, had the keyboard in front, which slanted up to a flat top where you could set a monitor on. And some actually had a little stand that the monitor set on that sort of went around the back of the computer. Hard to envision, but that's the best way I know to describe it. The switch was way around back at the left. And there were a few connections in the back where you'd hook up. They'd even work with a tape. See, it have that. But there was the Echo 2 speech synthesizer. And this was before the word screen reader was used, I believe. So this didn't always work with different programs. So basically it was an experiment, probably bought at great expense at that time period. And I was just basically starting to find my way around it. I discovered it had a keyboard very much like a typewriter, the computer did. And it just amazed me that when you type something, it would speak back the thing that you typed. Or there was a program called Robot Demo, where you could type something, hit the enter key, and it would read you the line you typed in a monotone robotic voice. As time went on, I mean, I ended up having a computer like that of my own, which there was funding for, purchased for my work in high school. And this computer had a program called Braille Edit on it. And its job, it could be basically a word processor that somebody sighted could type into it. So they could, you know, transcribe a book in there, and it would translate to something you could either read on Braille or have it read through this speech synthesizer, which would drive you nuts if you listened to it long enough. But, again, couldn't be choosers. IBMs did exist at the time, but my first sort of education was on Apple. So, literally, It was a big help in high school. Because the other work, too, I had a device that would let me enter things in Braille, send them through the Apple computer, and literally drive a regular printer. Great for writing essays and such that I had to do a lot of in high school, or handing in assignments, period. Teacher loved it because they were all neatly typewritten. I had a daisy wheel printer rather than a dot matrix. Woke up half the neighborhood, I'm sure, every time I started that thing up. Shook the whole table. Oh, boy. Anyway, that's my first Apple experience. And then, of course, jump several decades whereby I think I basically used that machine till it died, or almost, or became so obsolete I couldn't run anything on it. I got out of computers, I lapsed, and then the next computer that I kind of eventually got into was the IBM, or what's known as PC nowadays. And then the next thing I heard about Apple was the iPhone. I mean, I knew about Macs before, but I just heard they were not accessible at all, and I'd actually tried to work with them in the past and not worked out well. That's another story. Because at that time, they just didn't have quite the same accessibility, and there was a screen reader then called Outspoken. But, you know, I figured, given that early experience, which was not positive, and people were talking about the iPhones, and I'm like, what is that? Is that similar to an iPod? And basically somebody explained it was an iPod with a phone in it. And somebody else had said, oh, they're fully accessible, you know. And I'm like, now how can that be fully accessible? It's a smooth screen. How do I find anything? Little did I know. Of course I got curious. As I like to do. And I did my backward approach that I tend to do with anything that I'm serious about. I read any and all information I could grab online, including the user manual for the iPhone at the time. And it had come to be that my cell plan was allowing me to upgrade. I was able to do this without additional cost. Upgrade to a smartphone. They said you could do this, and they'd been saying this for months. I knew it because I was getting text messages about it, that at that time I just had a basic cell phone that, yeah, it had the buttons on there, and you dial the number and hit send. It could do text, it could do limited work like that. But it meant that Michelle had to read, or somebody would have to read the text for me, literally deal with it, because I had no way to interact with it. So I said, well, you know what, I've been reading on these iPhones, maybe I'll see if they'll cover me for one. And they did. It was the older model, the 4 was current, but the 3GS was covered without an additional expense, just the $35 activation fee. So I said, great, let's do it. And I taught the person at the counter how to do how to start up the voiceover, which she was so curious, she went right ahead and did before she'd finished activating it. So then I had to teach her how to work with voiceover. And the activation probably took about 2 or 3 times longer than it should have, because, of course, the iPhone behaves differently. But, oh, man, what a life changer. In one way, a life saver. I'm just going to check my time. Time remaining. New recording. 1:25. Okay, yeah, I'm still good for a bit here. I hate that when I can't. It's switched speakers on me. It does this to me every once in a while. The sound is coming out of the earpiece speaker. Anyway, a little bit of a learning curve for me, but in minutes I was making my way around that iPhone. Once it got activated and I was taking it home and figuring out how to do it, then I, you know, gradually acquired some apps, but the biggest change, in fact, I can't imagine not having it in my life now, but I got some very functional apps on it, and then I discovered, of course, Audioboo. And I think I tend to do more with my iPhone on Audioboo than I do on my computer with Audioboo. And then, of course, there's the EarPods that later came out, and a great portable sound solution, not perhaps as developed as a full-size set of headphones, but extremely good for what they are. And so I'm loving them. And so there's a brief expansion of how Apple has changed my life. I just can't imagine being without it. And thanks to Apple for connecting me essentially with Audioboo. Anyway, we shall talk to you later. Bye for now, and thanks for listening.